Hey everyone, welcome back to MarketSnap. Lowe's just reported earnings, and the stock is sitting at a crossroads, caught between a massive housing market headwind and one of the strongest brand franchises in retail. That tension is exactly what makes it dangerous. We're skipping the pitch deck and running the numbers, financials, cash flow, and a full MarketSnap valuation pass to see if the story actually matches the spreadsheet. Before we dive into the model, let's set the stage. Lowe's is the second largest home improvement retailer in the world, with over 1,700 stores across North America. It's a consumer cyclical business, which means it lives and dies by the health of the housing market, consumer confidence, and the willingness of everyday folks to drop a few $100 on a new water heater or a weekend paint job. Right now, that willingness is being tested. Discretionary spending on big-ticket home projects has been under pressure for over a year. Mortgage rates are still elevated, existing home sales are sluggish, and the DIY customer, the weekend warrior, is pulling back. But here's the thing. Lowe's isn't just sitting there. The pro customer, the contractors, the electricians, the plumbers, is picking up the slack. And that shift is reshaping the entire investment thesis. For those who need a quick refresher, Lowe's Companies, Inc. was founded in 1921 and is headquartered in Mooresville, North Carolina. It's run by CEO Marvin Ellison, who's been at the helm since 2018 and has been laser-focused on transforming Lowe's from a DIY-centric retailer into a more balanced, pro-heavy operation. The company employs roughly 276,000 people and generates over $86 billion in annual revenue. It operates through its retail stores, its website, and its mobile apps. And while it's often compared to Home Depot, Lowe's has historically skewed more toward the DIY customer, which has been both a strength in boom times and a liability in downturns. Let's talk about where the money actually comes from. In fiscal 2025, Lowe's generated about $86.3 billion in revenue. The biggest chunk, roughly $31.5 billion, came from home decor. That's appliances, kitchen and bath, lighting, and decor. Building products came in second at about $26.5 billion, covering lumber, millwork, and structural materials. Hardlines, tools, hardware, and electrical added another $24 billion. And there's a small other bucket that rounds things out. Geographically, this is overwhelmingly a U.S. story. Over 99% of revenue comes from domestic operations, with only about $61 million from non-U.S. markets. So when you're investing in Lowe's, you're making a bet on the American homeowner and the American contractor. Now let's get into the numbers that actually move the stock. Lowe's just reported its second quarter of fiscal 2026, and the results were mixed. Revenue came in at about $26 billion, with comparable sales up a modest 0.2%. That's not a blowout, but it's not a disaster either, especially in this environment. Diluted EPS was $4.27, and adjusted EPS came in at $4.40. The beat on the bottom line was nice, but here's the catch. Management trimmed their full-year outlook. They now expect fiscal 2026 revenue of around $92 billion, down from their prior range of $92 to $94 billion. They're also guiding to the low end of their profit range. The message from the C-suite is clear. Home improvement spending is still under pressure, and they don't see a meaningful recovery in the back half of the year. That's the kind of guidance that keeps a stock range-bound. Digging into the earnings call, a few themes stood out. First, the pro segment is outperforming. Contractors and tradespeople are still spending, and Lowe's is investing heavily in that customer, expanding pro fulfillment, improving delivery, and ramping up its loyalty program. Second, digital sales continue to grow at a rapid clip, which is helping offset some of the weakness in store. But the elephant in the room is the DIY customer. Management explicitly said they're seeing continued pressure in discretionary home improvement spending. The consumer is cautious, and they're deferring bigger projects. That's not something Lowe's can fix overnight. It's a function of interest rates, home prices, and consumer confidence. The other thing worth noting, Lowe's is leaning into productivity and cost discipline. They're focused on protecting margins, even as sales growth stagnates. That's the right playbook for this environment, but it only gets you so far if the top line keeps sputtering. Let's zoom out and look at the broader financial picture. Over the past 5 fiscal years, Lowe's has generated between $6 and $8.5 billion in net income annually. Fiscal 2023 was the peak at about $7.7 billion, and fiscal 2025 came in at around $6.65 billion. EPS has ranged from about $11.87 to $13.24. Free cash flow has been consistently strong, over $7.5 billion in fiscal 2025 and nearly $9.3 billion in fiscal 2020. That's a business that throws off serious cash, even in tough times. The balance sheet is a bit more complicated. Lowe's has run a negative equity position for several years now. That's a result of aggressive share buybacks and dividends, which have reduced the book value of the company. Total liabilities sit at around $64 billion, and the debt-to-equity ratio is technically negative because of that negative equity. It's not a red flag per se. Many mature, cash-generative retailers run this way, but it's worth understanding. They're essentially levered to their own cash flow. The gross margin is around 34%, and the net margin is about 7.3%. Return on invested capital is healthy at around 20%, and the dividend yield is roughly 2.2%, with a quarterly payout of $1.21. Now let's break this down with a proper SWOT analysis: strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. On the strength side, Lowe's has an iconic brand, a massive store footprint, and a fortress-like balance sheet when you look at free cash flow generation. The pro segment is growing, digital sales are compounding, and the company has a track record of returning massive amounts of capital to shareholders through buybacks and dividends. On the weaknesses, the DIY-heavy customer base is a liability in a downturn. Comparable sales have been flat to negative for several quarters, and the negative equity position, while manageable, limits financial flexibility compared to peers. On the opportunity side, there's a massive installed base of aging homes in the U.S. that will eventually need repairs and renovations. The pro segment is still underpenetrated compared to Home Depot, and if interest rates start to fall, there's a pent-up demand for housing turnover that could reignite DIY spending almost overnight. On the threats, the macro environment is the big one. High interest rates, weak consumer confidence, and a sluggish housing market are all headwinds. There's also intense competition from Home Depot, Amazon, and a growing number of specialized online retailers. And there's always the risk of a broader economic slowdown hitting employment and discretionary spending even harder. Let's look at the price action, because the chart tells a story of its own. Over the past year, Lowe's is down about 16%. Over 6 months, it's down about 22%. That's a significant drawdown for a blue-chip consumer name. The stock has been sliding since the summer, and the recent earnings report didn't do much to halt the skid. That said, over the past month, the stock is up about 4.5%, and over the past week, it's roughly flat. So there's some short-term stabilization happening. The stock is trading around $217, with a market cap of roughly $122 billion. For context, the stock is down from its 2021 highs of around $250. The 5-year performance is actually positive, up about 6.5%, but that masks a lot of volatility in between. If you're a short-term trader, the technical picture is mixed. The stock has been in a downtrend for months, and it's going to take a meaningful catalyst, like a Fed rate cut or a housing market inflection, to change that trajectory. But for long-term investors, the current price is starting to look interesting. Now let's get to the part that really matters. What is Lowe's actually worth? We ran this through the MarketSnap valuation engine, and the model we landed on is a forward PE approach, with a DCF as a supporting check. The model confidence is high, and here's why this setup fits. Lowe's has a long history of positive free cash flow. Analyst estimates are available and positive, and the company is a mature compounder. It's not a hyper-growth story. It's a cash machine. The forward PE model is the right primary engine here because we have solid visibility into forward earnings, and the company's growth is decelerating, which is exactly the scenario where a forward multiple gives you the cleanest picture. The DCF serves as a good cross-check because of that consistent free cash flow history. So what does the model say? After running the numbers with a discount rate of 10.5%, a perpetual growth rate of 2%, and a terminal PE of 14, the MarketSnap fair value lands at roughly $206. The current price is around $208. In other words, the stock is trading right at our fair value estimate, essentially dead even. The blended fair value, which weights the forward PE and DCF together, comes out to about $206. The forward PE leg alone suggests a fair value of around $198, and the DCF leg comes in at about $194. So you've got a tight cluster of estimates, all pointing to roughly the same conclusion. Lowe's is fairly valued right now. What drives this valuation? Three things matter most. First, the forward PE target we're using is 18 times earnings, which is a slight discount to the historical average of about 19 times, reflecting the deceleration in growth. Second, we're modeling a gradual decline in free cash flow conversion from about 110% of net income down to 100% over the projection period. And third, we're assuming a slower pace of share buybacks, about 1.5% annual reduction in share count, down from the historical 5% plus. Now here's the important caveat. These are model estimates, and they swing heavily based on your assumptions. If you use a more aggressive growth rate or a lower discount rate, the fair value could easily be in the 250 range. If you're more conservative, it could be closer to 175. The point is, the model is a starting point, not a precise target. If you disagree with our inputs, plug in your own growth or discount rate assumptions on our intrinsic value calculator at marketsnap.com and see how the number shifts. All right, here's my honest take. Lowe's is a great company in a tough spot. The franchise is rock solid, the cash flow is undeniable, and the pro strategy is working. But the stock is not cheap at current levels, and the near-term outlook is muted at best. If you're a long-term investor with a 5-year horizon, the math is actually pretty compelling. The model suggests that a $10,000 investment today would be worth roughly $9,900 in 5 years. Basically flat, assuming no change in valuation. But that assumes the stock stays at 18 times forward earnings. If the housing market recovers and Lowe's gets back to mid-single digit growth, the multiple could expand and you could see meaningful upside. The key risk is that the housing market stays weak for longer than expected. If DIY spending continues to slide and the pro segment can't fully offset it, earnings will keep drifting lower and the stock could grind down to the low 180s or worse. What I'm watching: interest rates, housing turnover, and the DIY spending data. If those start to turn, Lowe's is a buy. If they don't, it's a hold at best. What do you think about Lowe? Leave your take in the comments below. Thanks for watching. If this helped you think through the story, hit like and subscribe for more stock deep dives. See you in the next one.